And that is the story now. Gas lines longer than we've seen. I can't even remember in Gustav. And in the flood of 2016, lines rivaling what I'm seeing now, causing traffic jams from people trying to get to the gas pump. But as you say, Jay, if that storm had been 20 miles closer in, we would perhaps have trouble broadcasting right now. It was cataclysmic as it was, but it would have been one of the most devastating storms in the history of our state, and still is. But we're talking about Baton Rouge. It might have exceeded Gustav in the flood of 2016. It could have been just an immense disaster if it had not turned.
Oh, that's absolutely right. Had it come into or through EBR Parish, it would have been something equivalent for the old-timers, Betsy. It would have certainly topped the destruction of Andrew and exceeded what we experienced in Baton Rouge during Gustav. So we are very fortunate around the core of the metro area. But again, once you cross the Amite River heading east, you start to see the impact of damage gets very extensive very quickly. And I want to let folks remind them it is still not over, especially for our neighbors to the east. I mean, there are places over there that will be without power for weeks. And flooding has been an issue. In fact, the Tickfall River there at Holden only crested last night. So this is still an ongoing emergency for Louisiana residents not all that far to the east of us.
877-217-5757. Frank on Highland. Frank, you're on the air with Jay Grimes. Hi, Frank.
Hi. Mine's not, well, it's Ida related, but it's I have a live power line in my backyard on the ground, and I've been calling Entergy every day, and they put me on a list, and I think it's still live, and I'm afraid a curious neighbor or somebody's kid is going to step on it.
Frank, where do you live?
On Rainford Road in Baton Rouge.
All right. Well, hopefully someone is listening who can help. But, Jay, as we know, this is not something for civilians to get involved with. That's when people get killed. And you can, feel the pain from Frank's voice. And Entergy, it's convenient to point fingers right now, and I'm not I'm certainly not a PR guy for Entergy, but they are trying, and I've been without power 4 days, so, but I don't have any live wires in my yard, and this man does. So that story is probably replicated with many others in our community right now.
Yeah, Jim, we need to remind people, assume every wire is live. Don't, some folks say, well, it's not sparking. It must be dead. Never make that assumption. For Frank there, Frank, if you can, try and put something, don't get near the wire, but try and put something around it that may at least help keep kids or even pets away from it. And as Jim pointed out, I mean, Entergy is doing a yeoman's effort here. I don't think when you look in your own backyard, you really don't have a sense of the enormity of the impact on our infrastructure here. And they brought in crews from other states. Many of these linemen are working 16-hour days. In fact, I ask you, you see an Entergy or any power utility folks going by and our first responders too, give them a wave. They are putting in the OT.
They are indeed. And this is a story in which we quite often speak in stark terms of the workforce in America. But when you look at what Entergy is doing here, what's happening in Nevada right now in Lake Tahoe with firefighters risking their lives. There's some real heroes out there, and they have to come home as well. And hopefully they will. And time that tries men's and women's souls. But here we are, and Jay Grimes is the guy who many go to. He is the most well-known meteorologist in Baton Rouge, and I wasn't understating it when when we face these natural disasters, and in Louisiana most often it's weather-related, Jay's the guy, and Jay, for those unfamiliar, did not grow up here. He's from Arlington, Virginia, went to the University of Delaware, and you came to Baton Rouge in, what, mid-'80s? Is that when it happened?
Yeah, LSU brought me down here in the mid-'80s, and originally the plan was three and out for graduate school, and LSU, after a year, was kind enough to offer a lowly graduate student a full-time job, and it went from there, 20-plus years with the LSU, and it was during that period that the TV opportunity kind of sprung up by accident. It wasn't anything I sought out. And so there's been sort of a career shift from sort of academic climatology to operational weather on TV. And I still have my fingers in the LSU pie, so I'm very grateful. I've been extraordinarily fortunate to have two weather-related careers here in Louisiana. Not bad for an old Delaware boy.
Mm-hmm. Now, a listener asked, and it's a legitimate question. This is Cindy on Jefferson asking about most all of the forecasters had this going straight for Baton Rouge. I think you were among the first, if not the first, to say there was this tilt to the right. But you rely on sophisticated information. This is much different than Hurricane Betsy in 1965. And as sophisticated as the resources are that you have, you can't get it perfect, can you?
Absolutely not. And that's why even when we point a storm in a direction, what I want folks to remember, even as that storm was coming inland, there still was that cone of uncertainty. And sometimes we get way too focused on the forecast track that comes out of the National Hurricane Center. And my rule is, unless I see something that really suggests that that track needs to be adjusted, I go with that track, because in reality, what we're not talking about here is a vacuum cleaner across the floor. We're talking about a bulldozer into the house. So it doesn't really matter where that center line is. Anything near it is going to be impacted. And we've seen that here. We have damage that begins in the eastern part of EBR Parish, and it just ramps up all the way over to Hammond. That's a giant paintbrush. It's not a line of destruction. And when you get down along the coast, the devastation is almost unreal. It starts in Grand Isle, where every structure apparently has endured major damage, and there's something on the order of two-thirds of which are essentially completely destroyed. And the swath works its way through Terrebonne and Lafourche Parish northward. And while that swath of damage does shrink a bit as it heads north.
We do have to pause, but we're going to continue with Jay Grimes, and we'll hear from Mark Ballard as well after this 90-second pause. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Mark Ballard of The Advocate is on deck. And if you get a copy of The Advocate today, there is an amazing array of stories about Hurricane Ida. They have done an exceptional job under immense stress, and we commend the staff at The Advocate /Picayune. And once again, we note that we are being heard today not only in Baton Rouge and surrounding parishes, but also WWNO. So by virtue of that, most of the state is listening, and most of our listeners have been affected dramatically by Hurricane Ida. We continue for a few minutes with Jay Grimes, chief meteorologist for WAFB Channel 9, the top-rated station in the Baton Rouge area, one of the top-rated stations in North America. And he's been doing his thing since 1985 in Louisiana, but on the air, he has been with WAFB for 25 years. He's Remember Nash Roberts in New Orleans? He's kind of the Nash Roberts of Baton Rouge. And a listener, this is John and Gonzalez asking about, could we have a repeat of what happened with 2005 when we had Katrina, and then less than a month later, here comes Rita. There's no guarantee we're out of the woods, are we?
Jim, no, not at all. In fact, a lot of folks have already forgotten. This is the second visitor we had this year. We had Claudette earlier in the year, and unfortunately, nearly half of Louisiana landfalls historically come in September. So do not be thinking that we're done with the tropics in any way, shape, or form. In fact, Mother Nature's been just incredibly unkind to the Bayou State recently. If you look at the last 5 years, we've had 10 named storms in the last 5 years, including now three majors in the last 2 years. So while I don't want to frighten people, we need to be just prepared for the potential of yet another unwanted visitor over the next 6 weeks.
Trish in Grand Coteau. Trish, you're on Talk Louisiana with Jay Grimes. Hi, Trish. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning. It occurred to me that one of the helpful things that's happened since the last big storms were drones. I mean, so many people have them, and for reporting problems or outages or down trees, I bet those have been very, very useful.
What about drones, Jay Grimes? Are they now part of the resources that are available when you are looking at storms and their path and their devastation and such? Can you pull up Jay Alondra? There we go. What about drones?
There you go. Yeah, drones are not only a resource that are being used by the media, and they're actively being used by a number of these companies as well. It gives them the opportunity to get out. The utility industry, for example, is using them to survey down lines. It gives them the perspective that they just don't have when they're on the ground doing their surveys. So drones have become a big part of the tropical weather picture. Now, of course, keep in mind, you can't put those up when the storm is coming through, but they are an excellent resource for the response community afterwards. Allows them, for example, to look down streets that are blocked by trees. So it is being widely used. And Jim, by the way, I wanted to just mention a quick shout out. We mentioned Entergy. I want to shout out to Demco too. And since you're on in New Orleans, for the folks in Baton Rouge, just to remind them, New Orleans really got slammed by this one. So the metro New Orleans area is included in that swath of extensive to extreme damage.
And more extensive than we have, too, in La Paz. My God. It's just devastating to see those pictures and hear those voices of people affected by this. And a listener asks another question, since we've got Jay, and it's a little early to gauge these things, but on the list of storms and hurricanes that have been powerful in Louisiana, this has to be among the most potent that we've endured.
Well, certainly in terms of its landfall intensity, it ties for number one with last year's Laura and the storm back in the 1850s, sometimes referred to as the Last Island Hurricane. Landfall at 150 miles per hour. Now, you know, one could argue Camille was stronger, and that's certainly the case, but its impact was not nearly as significant because it really kind of clipped the southern tip of Plaquemines Parish. But between Laura and this storm and that 1856 mm-hmm. storm, which all came right on the mainland here. How we'll evaluate it still probably won't be resolved in months, possibly. But yes, this is certainly a top five, or if not a top three hurricane historically for the Bayou State.
Now, David in Atlanta says, what a revelation that New York City got more of a hit from Ida than did Lafayette. He says, I feel guilty in my nice, cool apartment with my hot water and ice box. And what a difference 50 miles makes.
Oh, no question about that. But it also reminds us that even after these storms are no longer at hurricane intensity, they still have the potential to leave a trail of destruction for hundreds of miles, and we haven't seen a lot about the flooding that was endured in the Appalachians in the Ridge Valley provinces as Ida went from Louisiana right up the spine of the Appalachians till it turned a little bit more to the east and then rolled through the mid-Atlantic, including New York City. So we often, and understandably, we began to sort of exhale after Ida left town, but it's been a mess for a good portion of the eastern third of the U.S.
David in Atlanta. David, you're on with Jay Grimes. Hi, David.
According to the national...
I don't know what happened. We lost David, but hopefully he'll dial back in. But David, the last few days has called us, and we thank him for listening in Atlanta. But he's expressed concerns about climate change. We have it. And a listener, Daryl in Baton Rouge, asks about, you know, is a weather guy. I know you try to stay away from the politics, but nonetheless, something is going on here. And how can it be addressed, Jay?
Something is going on. And if there's no question that there's climate change, we can get into a prolonged discussion about what is the ultimate source or what percentage of change is human-induced versus what is natural. But for Louisiana, this is something that the signature is there regardless of who the cause is. And the fact of the matter is the train is running down the track, so it's not as if it's something we can just stop. And so in terms of the long-term impacts, I've often argued that Louisiana may be one of the most impacted states from climate change, and certainly the tropical weather uptick in the last couple of decades is clear evidence of that. We've been hit by 27 named storms in the last 20 years.
All right. We are short on time with Jay, and we want to get one caller in who's been waiting patiently. Paul in Opelousas. Paul, you're on the air with Jay Grimes. Hi, Paul.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Jay. Just a quick question about the state of Louisiana. Do you think we're more hardened to deal with big storms? You know, we know the generation. We know we move when they say move. Do you think we're one of the best states that can deal with this?
All right. Are we getting seasoned enough that we're getting good about being out of harm's way? I do note, and a listener actually chided me a bit about Ida's wrath, saying it's bad, but the deaths are not anywhere close right now, as far as we know, to other storms. Is that because we're doing a better job of getting the hell out of the way?
Absolutely. We're smarter about it. Folks are listening to the emergency management community, and we are not only a little bit more prepared for these storms than we were 20, 30 years ago. But we also, in my opinion, and I'll admit I'm a little biased, but in my opinion, I think we have probably the best emergency management community prepared for tropical weather, the best in the Gulf region and probably in the U.S.
Jay, thank you so much. I know you've had a busy week and glad you're spending some time with us. We'll be calling again, and hopefully it won't be under these circumstances. But keep up your good work. You've done stellar work for a quarter century, and we look forward to at least that many more years of Jay Grimes on the air. Thank you, Jay.
Kind words. Thank you, Jim.
We'll be back with Mark Ballard for the last half of the show after this. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Alondra Villarreal is producing, and we're recapping Hurricane Ida, which will be with us in one way or another for many days, months, even years to come. We'll be talking about Hurricane Ida. The President of the United States will visit affected areas tomorrow. And with us is Mark Ballard, the Capitol Bureau Chief for the Advocate / Picayune. And we also want to commend the great people of New Orleans who weathered another one. And fortunately, the levees held. It could have been much worse. We hate to be Pollyannish in these times, but it could have been immensely worse than it was. But it's pretty bad, and it'll be with us for a while. The Advocate's front page story today is lines stretch on. Over 62% of Baton Rouge area stations are out of gas. So it's hard to even fill up your tank in these times. 877-217-5757. Mark Ballard is a neighbor of mine, and I suspect you're out of power too, Mark.
Yeah, I have been since about 5:30 on, when was that, Sunday evening?
It was Sunday. I lasted until 8:23. And you know what? I decided I'm out of power. I'm going to come to work because we have power. And I drove down Perkins Road, and it was not bad at all. And then I made the turn on Bluebonnet, and whoo, it was like boom, the whole world changed, and felt the wrath of Ida. But I must say, other than police cars at that time, I think I was the only one on the road. And fortunately, people follow instructions. But I felt the need to be here. I'm glad I was, and I got here, and I had air conditioning. But people fortunately didn't take many chances, at least most people didn't, and we've limited the number of deaths, because if people had been out on the road en masse, it would have been a disaster of even worse proportions than it is. But you have continued to work, and I don't know if you heard me, but the Advocate today, I don't know how you do it, but story after story about Ida, in depth about all the ramifications of this story, it is amazing. And people right now, the journalists are affected by this as well. Many are without power like Mark, and you trudge on. And the governor has been through a few of these, John Bel Edwards, in his 6 years in office. But even he looks weathered by the storm, Mark. The governor, I can see it and hear it, and I know him well enough to know that he has been affected by this. And I think it will be something that all of us remember for the rest of our days.
Oh, yeah, I think so. But we've all kind of had to weather this. We've all been through this before, and this is just another storm, as it were. And it almost every summer now, we're spending a few days without air conditioning and losing all of the food in our freezers, which is what's happening now.
Yep.
But we're so much better off than those that are in Terrebonne Parish, for instance, or those who are in LaPlace. So
or Grand
it's hard
Isle.
For me, or Grand Isle. Yeah, it's hard for me to, feel sorry for my situation when you have so many people that are suffering, in a major way.
I got a note from people at Garden District Animal Hospital, which isn't far from either one of our homes, still without power. Once power is restored, they say they will open. But pets are affected by this, and for those of us who have pets, they were very sensitive to what was happening Sunday night. Animals sometimes are smarter than humans in these kinds of situations, and we wish people well, because people, they have kids, they have pets, they have homes, they have cars, they have jobs. All of this is in play in a calamity of this magnitude.
Yeah, I think so. I think that they have some sort of a third sense that tells them when something bad is coming. We use the television, they have it in their bodies. So one thing I wanted to mention is that and it bears mentioning a lot, is that, when you come up to a stoplight that's not working, everybody's supposed to treat it like a four-way stop. That's not necessarily done. And I've seen several near collisions by someone just plowing through the light. That's my little pet phobia.
Yeah,
so
and
that go.
And I suspect you, like yours truly, has been out and with stoplights out and streetlights out. Last night, for example, I went through one. I didn't see it, and I went through one and almost got hit, and it was my fault. But fortunately, the guy slammed on his brakes and saved the day. 877-217-5757. David in Lafayette. David, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, David. Are you there, David? Alondra, let's see if we can get David. I don't know what's happened in Lafayette. I think they're okay, but it is a time in which people are still saying they can't get through, and cell phones are spotty, and one person says actually they couldn't get through on their landline and then called on their cell phone and got in. So phones are right now a ticklish matter as well, but Mark Ballard is here, and he has been covering this storm, as you can imagine. And in Baton Rouge, the main item right now is that utility crews, is Charles Lucier, a guy who reports usually about other things. He has the top story in The Advocate. Utility crews made fitful progress Wednesday to restore power to homes and businesses in the Baton Rouge area, in many cases still assessing how much damage Hurricane Ida truly wrought. The total of those without power, 117,000 in East Baton Rouge Parish, 55,000 in Livingston, and 46,000 in Ascension. And as noted in New Orleans, even worse, the whole city went down. And under the circumstances, with 27,000, I believe, utility workers in South Louisiana alone, they're doing the best they can. And I do see some progress. In fact, I see some lights not so far away from us. I'm hoping that the next few days will be kind to us, Mark.
Yeah, well, me too. Me too, but I'm not counting on anything. I think that the that as Katrina became sort of the levees storm, that this is going to be the power storm. The problems that they had, it was very widespread, basically from Pointe-Coupee Parish all the way over to the eastern part of St. Tammany Parish. Huge, and it knocked down a lot of it. It knocked down a lot of the transmission lines, which brings the power from the generators, where they're generators. I mean, the plants where they make the electricity to the substations where they distribute it out to people like you and me, and that's huge. I mean, and that is what their big problem is right now, is trying to get the transmission lines back up. And then get into the distribution lines. You and I live in a neighborhood that has a wonderful tree canopy to it, which 364 days of the year we're really happy with. But when the hurricanes come through, those trees are they have a real problem with the lines that bring the electricity to our houses.
877-217-5757 is your number, and talk at talklouisiana.org. And Mark, you've been through a few of these. Gustav in 2008 was devastating in our area, and this one not as bad, but still pretty bad. And I'm thinking, as we were talking with Jay Grimes, thank God that storm turned a bit to the right at the very end and saved us from even more of a catastrophe.
Yeah, I was very worried, having been through Gustav, and I was very worried that we were about to get hit by something even worse. But that kind of right-hand turn that brought it closer to, I guess, I-55 really saved the day for Baton Rouge area. It's not so good if you're from Tangipahoa Parish or the eastern part of Livingston Parish, but we could have had it a lot worse.
Mark mentioned Thibodeau and Terrebonne, Lafourche Parishes, Houma. Zachary and Thibodeau calling in. Zachary, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you.
Hey, guys. Thanks for being on the air. Hey, look, just kind of peeking out, a few hours after the storm passed compared to how it is now. And everyone from, homeowners in the area, the energy workers, the, folks coming in with aid, with water, and ice, and everything. It's just starting to get a huge sense of thankfulness. And the massive amount of work people are putting in this area is just impressive. So I just wanted to put that out there. Keep on keeping on, everybody.
Thank you, Zachary. How'd you do? Yep. Well, he called from right in the heart of the danger zone, and I think we need to get Mark back as well. But today in the New York Times, front page story from Rick Rojas and Campbell Robertson, who has reported many times through the years from Louisiana, in one of the many lines in Kenner, snaking into gas stations, out of groceries, around hardware stores, Jean DeLeo in her car was waiting. The simplest of necessities required hours of effort in the world that Hurricane Ida left behind. She had driven to Mississippi and bought fuel to keep her car running, and her generator was going, and was now sitting in a caravan of vehicles in front of a church to get food and, most important, water. The water is a trickle, Ms. DeLeo, if it was 45, said of what was happening when she turned on her faucet in Kenner. Sometimes it's not even a trickle. The storm that ripped through southeastern Louisiana Sunday night left a still untold number of people without homes and nearly a million facing an infinite stretch with no electricity, but it also wreaked havoc on another essential service. Hundreds of thousands of people are finding themselves in places where water infrastructure is badly damaged by the storm and pumps and treatment plants are left without power. And we're going to talk another segment with Mark Ballard. I know we have some of you waiting, and we apologize. Phone service is a bit spotty, but we'll get to as many of you as we can, and we'll return after this two-minute timeout. This is Jim Engster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Alondra Villarreal producing, and Mark Ballard is with us for the remainder of our hour. 877-217-5757 is your number, and we will try to get to as many of you as we can. And we do apologize to our listeners from WRKF and WWNO that, as you can imagine, phone service is affected like everything else, but most of you are getting through okay. Let's go to Nancy on Perkins in Baton Rouge. Nancy, good morning. You're on with Mark. Hi, Nancy. Nancy, good morning to you. All right, let's see if we can get Nancy back, and while we're doing that, let's go to Patrick in Innisfil Estates. Patrick, you're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, how y'all doing? I'm looking at the gas lines. It's kind of concerning, and, you know, one of the first things the Biden administration did was they stopped the Keystone Pipeline. I mean, that's why we have that. We were building that pipeline so we could get gasoline, you know, fuel from Canada when things like this happen. I mean, is this part of the green plan, the green energy plan? You know, I just don't remember lines like this, even when Gustav hit.
Mark, Patrick, our dear friend at Innisfil Estates, is inserting some politics into this, but the lines are long.
The lines are long, but I think perhaps a bigger problem than the Keystone Pipeline is that a number of the refineries between Baton Rouge and New Orleans were knocked off of line, and so there's no gasoline. They're not making gasoline, and they wouldn't be making gasoline out of those sands anyway, but they're not making gasoline, and that's the real problem that they're having right now. The other problem is the power in a lot of these gas stations is off, and they can't operate them, so that makes just fewer of them. We need to remember that Ida came up basically the Bayou Lafourche, or a little to the west of the Bayou Lafourche, and pulling in Terrebonne as well. And then it kind of sat over Laplace for 3, 4, 5 hours. And in that time period, it knocked off a lot of the transmission lines, and it also impacted a lot of the refineries. And that, I think that has more to do with it than the Keystone Pipeline.
Well, and for those who are talking about how Joe Biden has supposedly crushed the oil and gas industry in September of last year, about 6 weeks before the presidential election, ExxonMobil stock was trading at $31. Today, it's trading at $55. So if you had invested in ExxonMobil when Joe Biden was elected president, you'd be doing very, very well. So there's nothing calamitous happening with the industry as a whole, but this is something that we are the resource for much of America. And I think it's probably taken for granted, not only by people around the country, but sometimes by people in our backyard, that we provide energy and sustenance for people all over this country and even the world. And when something happens on our coastline, it has repercussions, and this will affect the economy, not only in Louisiana, Mark, but it'll be a national a downturn as well.
Yeah, I imagine that that folks in the Northeast are going to start feeling the impact of us not making gasoline and having trouble moving the natural gas that we have. You recall back when the hackers broke into one of the pipelines, and we didn't have a problem with it because we had plenty of gasoline. But when you got up into the Northeast, it was a huge problem.
All right.
And
here's a question from Daryl asking, how did you get your newspaper out? There were some, of course, the first night was I didn't get my paper, but I got it a day late. But since then, it's been coming in.
Yeah, that first night, the concern was not so much of getting it printed, but it was of sending out the carriers in that kind of weather. And so that was why a lot of it didn't get passed. That's one thing. The newspaper also was hit with the power situation. And so I don't think I'm giving away any trade secrets, but it was the newspaper had been printed up, I think, until yesterday in like Nashville and Mobile and that sort of thing. And so it's been a chart. We're back on our presses now because of the generator that they have. But it's been an odyssey getting it all out. And the normal meeting, because we're spread over Lafayette, New Orleans, and Baton Rouge, we generally meet using some sort of Zoom sophistry that I don't understand. And all of that was out. So it became basically, phone calls and people dropping off of the phone calls. It's been difficult kind of organizing everything. So, but I think we've done a fairly good job at hitting the main points of what's going on in this.
Now, John in New Road says, and I commended the governor and sympathize with what he is going through as the leader of our state. But he, John in New Roads, one of our favorite listeners, says Governor Edwards calling for prayers is inconsiderate and insensitive. Nobody needs a call to prayer from the head of the Louisiana National Guard. We want leadership. Well, sometimes the leaders, I think, should show some humility, and there's nothing more humble than saying that a higher power is someone or some authority to consult in these times. Mark, I don't really have a problem with the governor asking for prayers.
Well, and neither do I. he has been working 24/7. He and all of his staff have been working 24/7 on this, and a call for prayer is also not such a bad thing in my mind.
877-217-5757. Maggie writes, people, including the mayor, promoting the gas or the app Gas Buddy is a solution to finding gas in the city, but that's just a tool for the frugal, which tells you gas prices, a moot point during a mass shortage. And in Baton Rouge, she continues, the power outage means few working traffic lights. Just watched a terrible accident on Acadian Thruway, where people are flying down Acadian, not realizing that they're just plowing through what should be four-way stops. Seems like an issue that could be mitigated by some police directing traffic with their car lights on. As Devontae Lewis said, why do we have such a big public safety budget if we're not using it to keep the public safe? That from Maggie, some points that I think are well taken.
As I had mentioned earlier, driving is scary for me because of not everybody seems to understand the four-way stop idea. And I believe the police have been working fairly hard. I don't want to sound like the defender of government, but I think that they've been working fairly hard at other issues of trying to keep us safe. And maybe now that it's starting to relax a little bit, they will start putting police officers out in the major intersections where there seems to be a problem. And then maybe we'll get the stoplights back up again.
Julia writes, I have a small solar setup and was able to leapfrog my refrigerator and window unit with it and stayed comfortable with until my power came back. Although the initial outlay for solar is more expensive than a generator, you never have to worry about getting gas or carbon monoxide poisoning, and they're wonderfully silent. I hope more folks will consider this option for the future. It saved me a lot of hassle. That from Julia.
It sounds like she likes her solar. Yeah, I think that one of the big issues that we're having, at least, you know, like in my neighborhood and probably yours as well, is generators, those who have them and those who do not. And those who have them, they make a lot of noise for those who do not, who have their windows open all night. However, you know, at first, you know, I was talking with this with one of my neighbors, and that, you know, he had never thought of having a generator, but think about, you know, we were out a couple of times last summer from all those hurricanes that passed by. Then in February we were out, and now we're out for, you know, until God knows when. And it seems like maybe a generator might be a good investment at this point.
Mary Stein from the East Baton Rouge Parish Library says the 11 library locations are reopening at 10 o'clock, as in 3 or 4 minutes from now. Here's one some listeners may not like, but it is something to consider. Tracy at the Capitol says, what if we were all driving electric cars now, Mark?
You know, I haven't even really thought about that. But I imagine we wouldn't be driving electric cars
now. No, they would be sitting in the garage or in the carport or on the street. Unless we have generators fueling the power stations, that is something to consider. Sometimes these gas lines, at least if you wait long enough, you're going to be able to get where you need to go, presumably.
Presumably, yeah. I just am happy that I have enough gasoline in my tank that I'm not going to have to visit the gas station for a little while anyway.
And I can tell you there have been as many accidents caused by the long lines for people trying to get gas blocking streets, and also these drive-through restaurants, people waiting in lines, blocking traffic, sometimes two streets over, trying to get in line to get some fast food. So please, please be careful, folks.
I think that's a good. I think that's good advice.
Well, Mark, we'll catch up with you next Thursday, and I suspect, prayerfully, that things will be better. Thanks for joining us, and let's get power soon. Always a pleasure.
Power soon.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you. And tomorrow, Jan Swift will be in the host chair, and I'm actually going to Los Angeles, where I'll presumably have air conditioning for the LSU-UCLA game. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services provides signature support. Stay safe and stay tuned.